650-650. You can get your thoughts into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, second half of the show. Coming to you live from the Kintech Studio. People Show brought to you by Applewood Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi's 10-year, 160,000-kilometer powertrain warranty is bold, but they have over 100 years to back it up. Details at Applewood Mitsubishi in the Richmond Auto Mall. Checking in some thoughts in the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Steve in Surrey, regarding the texter who said Shelov's is to Demko what Demko was to Markstrom. Markstrom was an Vezina candidate, and he was older than Demko is now. Markstrom, you know, he had that game 5 against St. Louis. That one still lives in my memory. That was fantastic. But that was the bubble playoffs. It wasn't the real playoffs. It was the bubble. And Thatcher Demko, when he is at his prime, he is fantastic. Just like our next guest, Ian McIntyre. Always fantastic. In his prime. His prime has lasted decades, folks. He joins us, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. iMac, how was the flight?
Early. Early. Although, you know, it's ridiculous. I don't know why I ever think that I'm going to get a decent sleep after a game and, you know, the time change. I was on radio with you, Beck.
Well, last night, yeah.
When was that? 12:30 a.m.? We finished?
No, it would have been 1 a.m. for you.
But I'm saying for you. So yeah. 1 a.m. for me. So back, anyways, a lot of thoughts in my head. It didn't help that there were two game sheets handed out last night and no time stamp on them. So it was hard to tell whether Brock Besser had tied the game or whether Dakota Joshua had tied the game. And these are the dumb things that as an old journalist kind of plays on my mind. But anyways, we got it right. It wasn't, to be honest with you, it wasn't a hard story to write because Rick Tocchet wrote it for us. You know, it's quite, you know, the more you think about it, quite an extraordinary post-game availability that he did where he talked about his team. And, you know, he's not wrong, but it's just so rare, especially at sensitive times, like the middle of a playoff series, so rare for a coach to be that blunt and honest with where he is with his team. And so it certainly was an unmistakable and clear challenge to his players. I thought it was interesting today that Elias Pettersson, who I think we're fair in saying does not necessarily enjoy having to deal with the media, and particularly when things are not going his way, he it's hard for me to get inside his head and what it is exactly, but it's not something he wants to do. But I thought it was interesting that he came out today and spoke to the media when he didn't have to, because he's clearly the guy that people are talking most about among the 5 or 6 or 7 passengers on the team. Although Tocchet today amended it, said he might be a couple off. So could be as few as 3 then, or it could be as many as 9. But
I was going to say, could go either way.
I don't think it's the 9. But anyways, a lot of stuff last night, a lot of stuff today. Actually, how are you doing? I realized you didn't really even ask me a question about anything other than how am I doing? And here I gave you a 3-minute soliloquy already.
I think I asked you how your flight was, and then 3 minutes later, you're like, Pettersson was really accountable. Actually, really quickly on that with Pettersson, because we got a lot of texts last night, because JT, you know, we played the audio last night of JT, and people texted it in of like, oh, look at that, he's really accountable. Petey's struggling. Why isn't he, you know, showing up to media? Can you just quickly take us through, like, the post-game process of which players are selected? Because there's an element of you guys playing a role in that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have enough time in this segment for us to discuss the Vancouver Canucks availability.
Sure,
it is not certainly not as the NHL intended.
Sure,
and it's, you know, been, I think, a series of compromises because, you know, players have been conditioned a certain way, either by age, experience, the pandemic. You know, the reality of Zoom calls and Zoom appearances and no real interaction with the media. But basically, how it has come to work with the Canucks, with this organization, and it's other reporters are surprised. Reporters from other places are generally appalled at how it works. But we are asked usually halfway through the third period to submit requests for whom we would like to speak with post-game. And the Canucks then can notify those players as they're coming off the ice by putting their number on a whiteboard, and mm-hmm. that tells the players that they have some kind of media obligation. That said, there's no guarantee that everyone you ask for is made available. And what we've seen on a lot of nights in the playoffs is that the list, there's quite a few reporters now covering the team, which is different than the regular season. And, you know, I want to say as an aside, I'm one of the few guys who more or less travels through the season with the team. So I have rapport with guys. I probably am more successful than most people at being able to talk to the people that I need to talk to. And I appreciate that I've got some relationship with players or a level of trust, or maybe it's simply familiarity, whatever it is. It probably doesn't impede me as much as it does some others, but what we're seeing in the playoffs now, a lot of tension, a lot of pressure, more emotions, higher highs, lower lows, and that's not a surprise to anybody. That's the great thing about playoff hockey. But amid all that, if, let's say, 8 players in total have been requested by, 6 different writers, the team isn't getting all 8 into the room to talk to people. And last night, there were only 3. There were 3 people who came out, and I'd asked specifically for another player whose number wasn't on the board mm-hmm. when I went into the room. So in a case like last night, I'm trying to think who was available. It was JT Miller, Quinn Hughes, and Connor Garland. Mm-hmm. And those were probably the 3 that the Canucks communication staff asked to speak to us. I don't know if they asked anybody else, but nobody else was made available.
There you go.
So it's not as simple as people see a quote from JT. Well, JT came out, but Pettersson didn't come out. I can't tell you whether Pettersson was requested, whether our requests ever made it to him. It is what it is, to quote the great Todd Bertuzzi. It's not supposed to be this way. I wish players embrace this aspect more than they do, or that at least more players did, because this, for some guys, this is some of the greatest hockey they'll ever play. And they all acknowledge, what it means in the city and the support they have from fans. And I like to think what we do is kind of bridge that gap between players and fans. And if we're really lucky and build some trust and rapport, they might actually tell us some things that humanize them a little bit and make them a little more relatable. Because, Elias Pettersson's skill on a one-timer is not really relatable. He's one of a few human beings on Earth who do it as well as he does it. People can't relate to that. But they can relate to somebody lacking confidence. They can relate to somebody who has self-doubt or feels, pressure or what have you. So, it was nice. I was really surprised and impressed that he came out today to talk to us. Not, again, the most engaging 7 minutes, but, by his standards, he was pretty revealing in acknowledging that he has to play better and that it's a challenge to his confidence and that he's trying and he knows it's not going the way that he'd like it to go.
That was more interesting than the things I could have asked about. That was well said. all right. What was I actually going to ask you about? I was riveted there. Oh, Rick Tockett, you asked a question today about being too honest. And, you know, as he was honest last night, too, you know, he warned the guys, like, it gets tougher. And last night was rather dispiriting and disappointing performance, as we talked about in the postgame show. What do you think, like, the response will be from the players, because they've managed at every step of the season to raise their game when they've been in moments of peril?
Yeah, they've always been resilient. And one of the things that Tockett told me earlier in the year, and I think it may have been early on in Pettersson's struggle. So, you know, either late winter or early spring, you know, March-ish. And someone had asked Tockett post-game about Pettersson, and he said something like he said last night, well, he's got to get himself going or move his feet, or I'm not happy with his game, I think he needs to move his feet, something like that. And it became this huge talking point in the city, like, oh, how Tockett said this? Can you believe it? He said this, and what's Petey going to think? And how does Tockett face him? And is there tension between them? And Rick told me then that he doesn't tell us things that the players don't already know. He's not using us to push the players' buttons. And so I suspect what he said to us in the post-game press conference last night was very similar to what he would have told players either individually or if he went into the room. A lot of times he doesn't go into the room, though, after the game. That's another thing people don't realize. The coach isn't in the players' faces all the time. Otherwise, it'd be so sick of them, none of this would work. So he, you know, it's kind of this balance. You need to hold them accountable and communicate and talk to them and reprimand them, but you can't be on them all the time. It's as tricky as parenting, you know. And so I don't know exactly what was said last night, but his point is that he if he says it to us, then the players are aware of it. They're not learning about it by clicking onto sportsnet.ca, although I'm sure they all do after the game to see what I've got to say. So I think that's an important thing to remember in this. But it is still, you know, I called it extraordinary just because, you know, we're in the honesty business, and mm-hmm. I'm just not used to people being this honest. I'm used to, especially at playoff time, perhaps being as dishonest or at least disingenuous as they are honest about something. But Tockett, you know, as he was as a player, he is as a coach. And, you know, as a reporter, I have to say, I just, you know, I love it. I love knowing exactly how he feels and why he feels that way. I know everyone today wishes he would name his passenger list.
His 3 to 9 guys.
The 3 to 9 guys. But that's not going to happen. But he did, of course, confirm. I think it was Farhan Lalji asked the question last night in Edmonton. And he did confirm that, yeah, Petey's got to get going.
Yeah. Last one for you. Sorry.
So he got outed on the passenger list that way, but he wasn't a passenger today. I'll say that. It would have been nice if there was a game.
Yeah.
But as far as Petey's accountability, his professionalism, his acknowledgement and self-awareness, he was not a passenger today.
Last one. Like so far these playoffs, we've talked about, like, Rick Tockett had to make a lot of decisions. Like a Soucy suspension is forced to make a lineup decision there, and he's made lower lineup decisions like an Omana or a Carlson. But this feels like the first time where he acknowledged, like, everything is on the table, that we might see some larger changes. Where I could even argue, you know, 5 of the 18 skaters should change. How many changes do you feel like are forthcoming?
Well, I'd be really surprised if there's 5. I mean,
I would too, but I think a case can be made.
Yeah, I would say 3, and that includes Soucy.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's more than 3, then I'll be a little surprised if there's only 2, which means Soucy plus 1 more. I'd be surprised as well. As I said in the show last night, you know, Susi comes in and, you know, maybe there's a talk of keeping Juulsen in the lineup, but I don't think that's too probable. So you have Susi coming in. I think Lafferty and Oman, Lafferty for sure, and probably Oman are coming out of the lineup. And whoever goes in, you'll be looking at people who bring energy and play a direct game. I think we could see Vasily Podkolzin, possibly. And Tockett, I believe he dropped Arshdeep Bain's name mm-hmm. into his presser today. So maybe we see him. The talk about Lekkerimäki, that's just not realistic. Like, I don't know. You know, the people who are saying that he should play probably haven't seen him play recently. Well, he hasn't played recently at all. So I just don't know that that's really throwing a guy who has never played an NHL game, is new to North American hockey, and throwing him into the middle of a playoff series against the Edmonton Oilers. I don't think that's going to help the team, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to help that player either. But, you know, Tockett himself said everything is on the table. I loved his quote, which I've heard a couple of times, but it never gets old, that he's swinging the bat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not playing it safe. He's taking his cuts as a coach. We've seen that in so many ways, including what he had to say after the game last night. And so maybe he's really going to swing for the fences on some changes here.
He is Ian McIntyre. Mac, I always appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, Bick. Nice being on with you. How was your sleep?
I woke up and Dom texted me. He's like, hey, we have some options for guests. And I was like, yeah, Ian. And I went back to sleep. I was like, you know what? Just going back to sleep. I'll wake up at 10:30.
Oh, 10:30. See, it doesn't matter. I went to bed at 2. I was up at 6. I was at the airport at 8. And
such is the life. Such is the life.
Yeah, I managed to get a short nap in. But it was one of those naps that's not satisfying because I actually felt like I could sleep for 2 hours, not 20 minutes. But here I am.
Here I am. Thank you very much.
All right. See you, Bick.
That's Ian McIntyre. We'll chat with him tomorrow on the postgame show after game 5 with the Canucks and Oilers back at Rogers Arena. I popped by the watch party before puck drop yesterday, and it was vibing. Vibing.
Which one?
Rogers Arena.
Oh, okay.
Game 4. I was outside. Helping out with our friends over at City News. But hadn't been by, obviously. We're busy here working.
Yeah.
Fantastic atmosphere. Felt like a game day.
Is Coquitlam doing anything you know of?
My building is doing watch parties.
Oh, really?
I see it. And I was like, someone was like, oh, you should come by. And I was like, I can't. But they were like, oh, we were looking.
Do you know what I do?
No, I don't publicize what I do with the day to day. I think they just think I'm just the guy. Hey, you know that guy that lives on that floor? He never says anything to anybody. He's always wearing sunglasses and headphones. Very standoffish. I don't know. Are other municipalities doing watch parties?
Feels like everyone is. No, there's one in Ladner, Delta.
Shout out Ladner.
Shout out Delta. There's obviously the outdoor one in Vancouver now.
Sure. Yep. All right. Good stuff. You want one thing I'm very thankful for? That we're not spending all the time today talking about the Draisaitl high stick. Because that reverse angle came out.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, all right, it's well below his shoulders. But in the moment, boy, was like, hey, video replay, man, we got to get on this. In the last minute of a game, should we be doing this? Like, league-initiated challenge, someone's got to get on this. It was well below his shoulder. That's a good goal. Oilers win game 4. But big news today, Dom. Overseas,
across the pond, yeah.
Across the pond, they are trying to get rid of VAR.
They are going to vote on whether or not to banish VAR for mm-hmm. next season.
Has VAR gone too far?
Okay.
Is basically the claim.
Too VAR?
Too VAR. But that's a look.
Can you put the genie back in the bottle? This is the thing. Because for all sides, it works beautifully.
So are we as a species intellectually smart enough to say, because the argument was made, it was put forth by Wolverhampton.
Wolves, yeah.
Saying, like, hey, the thought behind video replay was the excessively wrong ones. The marginal ones we can let slide. are we intellectually smart enough as a species to say, hey, this one, it's close enough, we can let it go? Because some fan base is going to get screwed over by it. Some team is going to get screwed over by it. Are we collectively, do we have the will to say we're okay with that one? Because I don't think that reality exists. It's nice in theory until you're the team that gets screwed over.
The problem is, Vic, it's been so bad.
Look, we have issues.
That it's happening anyway.
We have issues over here with the NHL. I totally understand it. And as human beings, we are great at pointing out flaws, not necessarily great at providing solutions. And right now, video replay, officiating, it's a flaw. It's easy to point out. I don't know what the solution is. And right now, VAR, we can take it out overseas, but one team is going to get screwed because of it. No matter which way you end up, somebody's going to get screwed. And what is the reaction going to be? Because I know, like me, if it's a Man United game and they get screwed over because of an offside, and it's like some guy's hand is, I'm going to be furious. Be like, we can get this right. I don't know if I have the temperament to say, oh, you know what? This is the reality we should live in.
You're a live by the VAR, die by the VAR guy.
I've tweeted that many times, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I agree. It has its major flaws, and it takes a lot of the joy out of the game. But if you're the one that gets screwed when it goes against you, I don't know if we'll be willing to take that now that we know this reality exists. So to answer your question, yeah, can you put the toothpaste back in the tube? I don't know. I don't think. The idea sounds great, but the practice of it.
The problem is for the black and white stuff, it works really well. It's the, what's the, not subjective, objective, subjective cost? Subjective cost?
Subjective, yeah.
That's where you draw a lot of ire.
Text coming in the inbox. See, that's why I love the inbox. They're always putting in work. Tavar or not Tavar? That is the question.
There you go.
Well done. Well done. Can we talk about Corey Perry mocking a cross-check on our player? I thought that was hilarious. It's okay to just take the joke in stride. That was hilarious by Corey Perry. Well done. All right, I got to run. Sat, Dan, on the way. Wednesday, overrated, underrated. We'll talk to Kevin Woodley as well. All coming up here, home of the Canucks. Oh, by the way, Sportsnet 650 coverage brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Get your keys to an all-star collection of Kubota products at one of their six locations across BC this spring. Visit DLEAMC.com. Let me do a reset here. So, Sat and Dan on the way on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.